Also say good morning to you and greet you in the name of Jesus, the one that we have gathered to worship. It's a privilege, blessing to be in this place of worship. Good to have each of you here this morning. Glad for your presence, and I trust that your heart has already been inspired and will continue to be as we look further into God's Word. I felt led this morning to look at two words, and here in a minute I'm going to write them on the board. One of these words is in the Bible, and one of the words is not, and it's not because it's not a Bible word. It's the Bible has much to say about the concept of this word. I think it's basically because it's a more modern word. Maybe back in Bible times it didn't struggle with what we're going to talk about this morning. But for the first word, you can turn to the book of Mark. And while you're doing that, I'm going to write these two words on the board. We're going to go to Mark 1 for our first account. Mark does a good job of capturing the emotion of some of Jesus' activities, and we're going to look at that this morning. All right, let's go to Mark and let's read a happening here in the life of Jesus. Verse 21. Mark 1:21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed. There we have our first word. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Now let's turn over to chapter 2, and let's read another account. We will find this word amazed again. And like I wrote on the board this morning, we want to consider two words, amazed or amused. Chapter 2, and again he entered into Capernaum, same place, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bearing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, "Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise, take up thy bed and walk?' But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." So we have two words, very similar. If you look at them, they almost look the same. There's only two little letters that are different. But I would like for us to think about this morning that these two words are polar opposites. And I believe the final destination of these two words are also very extremely different. So the question for us to consider this morning is the condition of our heart. Is it amazed or is it amused? In these two accounts that we read about Jesus' life, we find people that are amazed. They were amazed because of what Jesus is doing. To them, Jesus is a man, maybe even a man who they might find somewhat amusing. But what he did was simply amazing. Peter said this about Jesus later when Peter was preaching. He said, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." So a large part of this doing good that Jesus did, we find some of that in today's text, where he cast out the demon. This man that was possessed and oppressed by this demon, Jesus did good. He cast it out. Even the man who was sick of palsy, unable to walk, he'd been bedridden probably for many, many years, Jesus again did good with his miracle of healing. And Peter also says later, or actually earlier, he said this about Jesus. He said, "He is a man of God approved among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." So Jesus was going about performing signs and wonders and miracles. What is Jesus doing today? And the first point I want to make here this morning, before we go into the message further, is that we ought to stand amazed. We have these two stories of Jesus doing good. And there's many times that we have Jesus doing good by performing miracles. And the Bible has this recorded for a purpose, for a reason. And there's, I believe, possibly three different reasons why this is recorded. And because of these, we ought to stand amazed. John says that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. You know, we have a lot written here, but John implies that there is a lot that's not written. Possibly someday when we're gathered in eternity, we can find out what those other things all are. But today we have a limited knowledge of an infinite God. We only know so much, and it's only so much because our minds and our hearts probably can't contain more. Someday, Lord willing, we will be able to. Because John also says in his gospel that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written if everything was written about Jesus. So that in itself alone should cause us to be amazed. We ought to be amazed. We stand amazed when we think about Jesus. As the hymn writer says, Jesus, the Nazarene, in the presence. We ought to stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene. We ought to stand amazed when we consider that Jesus was God. Jesus was God, the true and living God, the God of all eternity, the God come down who became flesh, the one who dwelt among men, the one who died in our place, the one who was the perfect sacrifice, the one who met all God's holy requirements, the one who was buried, he rose again, and he ascended to heaven, who's someday coming again in power and majesty and glory. He's the hope of every believer. He's our hope this morning. We ought to stand amazed in His presence that He would do something like that for us. You know, because whether or not I'm a part of His family, whether or not I'm a part of His kingdom, He is still God. He is still holy. He's still glorious. He's still all-powerful. He's in control. And He's receiving worship from the saints that have gone on before, and even from the service of angels. Regardless of how I respond to Him, whether I respond to Him with an amazed heart, God is still God. Jesus is still holy, glorious, all-powerful. He doesn't need me, but yet He reaches out to us. Isn't that amazing this morning? We ought to be amazed. We ought to fall before Him. All that Christ did, and yet I think if we're honest this morning, and if we evaluate our heart, you know, sometimes we struggle, we come to church, we find this all normal, we've done this before, and maybe we consider it even boring. It's just the same old thing all over again. God forbid that we get so accustomed to our service and so calloused in our hearts that we consider what we're doing this morning is just another Sunday. We need to be amazed at what Jesus has done for us. So that is the first reason this morning that when we say we ought to stand amazed, the first reason is because Jesus is the Son of God. That's the first reason for us this morning that we ought to stand amazed, because Jesus is the Son of God. The second reason that we ought to stand amazed is that He alone had power to forgive sins. We find that here in John, or rather in Mark, the second passage that we read. Verse 10, Jesus said, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." And the Pharisees, obviously looking on, they had a problem with this. And possibly Jesus said all this for their sake. They'd never seen it like this before. They've missed the part of Jesus was God. This morning the question is for us, are we amazed that if we confess our sins, if we forsake our sins, if we put our faith in what Jesus has done for us, that our sins have been forgiven? Does that still amaze you? Does that make your heart well up in gratitude for what God has done for you? We ought to stand amazed this morning because Jesus alone has the power to forgive sins. The third reason we ought to stand amazed is because God alone is worthy of honor and glory and worship. Verse 12, they saw what Jesus did, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God. We ought to stand amazed because God alone is worthy of honor and glory and worship. Jesus did these things so that men would worship God. And Jesus is still working today so that man would worship God. He did the miracles. He displayed the power of God so that we would worship God because He is God. May we never forget that God has revealed all these things first and foremost and primarily so that we can become worshipers of Him. He desires relationship, and in that relationship there is worship. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What is the purpose of man? It is to know God, to glorify God, and have a relationship with Him forever. God created man to have that relationship. Adam and Eve ruined that when they chose to try to live life without him. They ruin that, and each of us are ruining that relationship when we continue on in our sin nature. Jesus came to renew it. He came to fix it through his death, burial, and resurrection. And by putting our faith in Christ, we can have a restored relationship with God. And when we do that, that brings God glory and honor. It glorifies God. And that is the reason why we ought to be amazed that we can bring glory to God. Our lives, what do we have to offer God? And yet when we follow Jesus' way, it brings glory to God. That is amazing. The question is, do you have that fellowship with him? Do you realize why you were created? Worship is not an experience. It is a way of life. Why do we need to talk about worship when we're talking about amazement? It's because we will worship what amazes us. Worship has been defined as the absolute duty and submission to God in every area of our life. So we worship God when we read his word. We worship God when we pray. We worship God when we sing. We worship God when we are godly husbands and fathers. Or when you're godly wives and mothers. You worship God when we witness. We worship God when we are honest. We worship God when we obey. Anything that we do in our lives according to the Word of God, we are worshiping God. It's an act of worship. It's to bring honor and glory to God. So God wants you to worship Him. God doesn't want us just to put on acts of righteousness like the Pharisees did. He doesn't want us just to come to church on Sunday, but he wants us to live out our lives every day of the week in worship to him because we are amazed by what he has done for us. So let's look a little closer at these words. Are you amazed or are you amused? And I'd like for us just to think about the definition of these words. Let's start with the word amused. What does the word amused mean? Well, if you take off the and look at the root, what are you left with? What does the word muse mean? Well, my dictionary says that the word mused means to be absorbed in thought. Or to become absorbed in thought, to think about something carefully and thoroughly. So muse means to think. What happens when we add the prefix? That little letter A changes it completely. Again, my dictionary tells me that it means not or without. So in simple language, we could say amused means not thinking or without thinking. So I challenge you the next time you're looking at your screen, you're watching that little video clip, just to stop and think, how much are you thinking or how much are you not thinking? The next time you find yourself being amused, ask yourself, what is this doing for my relationship with God? We live in an amused age. I'm sure that's not news to you. We have a world around us that is constantly trying to amuse themselves with entertainment and socializing and activity. We like being amused. The trouble is people don't want to think about God. They want to stop thinking about those hard things in life that cause them concern. They just want to be amused. And what is so sad about this is that this mindset is creeping into the church. It's coming into the church culture. church is to be a place to think about God. Yet a lot of pulpits, a lot of sanctuaries, a lot of church stages have been turned into nothing more than when men get up and perform. People are entertained and are amused. And we like it. It's attractive. There's something about it that appeals. Church should be a place where we gather together. We're not amused, but we're amazed. Not by the words of the preacher, not by the songs that we sung, but by Jesus, the one that we've gathered to worship. And this should follow us all week long. So the question is, are we more attracted to amusement than we are to thinking deeply about the serious things of life? There's hard things in life to think about. But are we more inclined to follow the amusement and have our minds amused? So what does amazement mean? What does amazed mean? Well, if you also eliminate the, break it down to the root word, it means maze. What is a maze? If you're in a maze, you're confused, you're lost. You're wandering. You're trying to figure out where to go. It's like, where am I? Help me out of this. So again, we add the little prefix. We add this important little prefix. And now what happens? We're no longer lost. We're no longer confused. We're no longer wandering. Shouldn't that be the testimony of every Christian, every child of God? I was wandering, but God found me. I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was confused, but I reached out to Jesus. I'm no longer lost. I'm no longer wandering blindly, aimlessly through life. He saved me. He restored me. He gave my life purpose, and He gave my life direction. Isn't that amazing? In our text this morning, we find people who are amazed because they saw Jesus, and they saw what Jesus could do in a person's life. And to them, they were amazed. It gave them a sense of direction. It gave them something to focus on. And it gave them some answers for which they were searching. So the question for us this morning is, how can we be amazed? What draws you to Christ? What keeps you in Christ? What fixates you on Christ? How do we stay amazed? And I hope this morning that it's clear to you that if you come to a place of worship, you don't come for amusement, you come for amazement. It's because we're about amazed. I do want to just take a few moments here and look at, for the second part of the message, beware against an amused heart. We know that the Bible doesn't exactly talk about the word amusement, but I want to lay out before us this morning that we need to beware against an amused heart. In the story of Samson, we find the idea of being amused. Samson, he shared his secret of strength, which resulted in him losing his strength and being captured by his enemies. And in Judges, in the story, we have the enemy, their hearts were merry, and they said, "Call for Samson that he may make us sport." And that there is the concept of amusement. They wanted to be amused by Samson. Now, the Bible also warns us against an amused heart. And we need to beware against an amused heart. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is what amusement can do for us. One of the core issues of an amused heart is when we follow the lust of our heart. It's what we desire. It's what we want. And we find fables or myths more attractive than the truth. John says, Jesus talking here, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Amazement is all about being gratified in the moment. Amusement is being more interested in what is happening now than pondering about where is this taking me? What is this doing to me? Amusement may stir you emotionally. Amazement will change you spiritually. We have the account of Herod. When he saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season. He wanted to see Jesus. Why did he want to see Jesus? He did not want to worship Jesus. He wanted to be amused by him. He wanted to see a miracle. And then in Timothy, again, we have these words. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves," and then it gives a whole list of different things, characteristics of lovers of their own selves, and it ends up with lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and dare I put in there lovers of amusement more than lovers of God. Many people seek pleasure, and it ends up stealing their heart. The pleasure takes higher priority than their love of God. And I will say this morning that pleasure has a way of stealing your heart. And many times it's because we don't stop and muse. We don't stop and think. We're not thinking about what is happening to our heart. Our amazement can be snuffed out by amusement. And there are many studies this morning that we could look at, not only spiritually, but also mentally and emotionally and physically, what this amusement does to you. I recently listened to a book by Neil Postman called Amusing Ourselves to Death. He says people will come to adore the technologies that undo their capacities to think. We're so intrigued by the technologies and what it's doing, it's actually destroying our ability to think. He also said, "I believe I'm not mistaken in saying that Christianity is a demanding and serious religion. When it is delivered as easy and amusing, it is another kind of religion altogether." You know, we can look at all the negative that amusement is doing in society and the world around us. It's creating people who don't think deeply about life. And there's much we could say about this, but I want to end this morning with the last section of the message, and that is, how can we keep ourselves amazed and not become amused? Because that's really what this is all about. We can look at the negative, but we don't want to go there. We do not want to be lovers of our own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We want a heart that wells up in amazement about for Jesus and what he has done for us. How can we do that this morning? And the first point I want to give us is to keep God at the center of all things. And I have a rather simple illustration out of these two words. But it helps make it clear, I think, in my mind, when we think about keeping Christ as the center of all things. What is Jesus called in the book of Revelation? And I know he's called a lot of things in the book of Revelation. But Jesus, so I'll give you the answer, but Jesus is referred to as the Alpha and the Omega. Now, what is that? That was the Greek alphabet, the first and the last. So if we were talking in English, we would say it's all the way from A to Z. Jesus is complete. He's comprehensive. He is everything. And we know that this morning. That should cause us to be amazed, to think about all that Jesus is. Well, what happens is, with amusement is, we replace the all things of God with us. It's no longer everything about God. It's how can I feel? What will this do for me? This morning, if we want to have amazed hearts, we need to keep God at the center of all things. Again, the question is, how can we do this? Because we want to do this, I trust this morning our desire is that our hearts are amazed with what God will do for us. I would like to give you a few words. And the first one is remember. Ephesians 2:11 says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. We need to remember what we were. And he talks about that where we were, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The first thing we need to do so that we can stay focused on Christ and that we can keep our heart amazed is to remember. Remember what we were without Christ. Without Jesus, where would you be? What hope would you have? Remember what Jesus did for you. Wherefore, remember. And we need to talk about these things. We need to encourage each other in these things. Remember, you need Jesus. The second word I want to give you is realize. Realize your potential to get distracted with amusements of this world. Realize these temporal things are darts the evil one will use to distract you from the real purpose of living. Hebrews says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I think that take heed, we could say realize, brethren, that we have that possibility, we have that potential to become distracted, to become attracted to the amusements of the world. And then we need to also realize that these temporal things, the things that we have, the things that we enjoy, they all can distract us. They all can become amusements to us that will distract us from following God, from keeping Christ central as we should. Another word I will give you: remember, realize, and now renew. Renew your mind. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have a completely different way of thinking than the world around us does. The world is wrapped up in amusement, and that won't work. We need to have a different way of approaching life. Philippians tell us, let this mind be in you. We need a different mind. We need a different way of thinking. We no longer follow the amusement of the world. We no longer follow the lust of our sinful heart. We no longer think the way the world thinks. Because we have a mind that has been made new by the blood of Jesus. And this morning, if we're struggling with amusement and the attraction of amusement, let's go back to that point and find out whether our mind has been renewed by the blood of Jesus. Are we thinking thoughts that Jesus would have us think? And another word, and this one is reason. Isaiah has this verse, says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. God is inviting you to reason together. What does that mean? He wants you to think about your options, and he wants to do it with you. You have many options out there. You don't need to follow God. You can choose your own way. You can try to live life without God. God is saying, let's explore your options together. I'll join you. We'll look at these different options and we'll choose the right one. Let's reason through this. Let's think logically about this. So if we want to keep Christ central, we'll need to reason. And then the last one I'll give you, and it's actually two words. It's recognize and reverence the authority of the Word of God. If we want to keep Christ central, we want to keep our heart amazed. We don't want to become amused. We need to recognize and reverence the Word of God. And we find that back in the first account that we read. They were amazed because of what Jesus said. And what was so amazing about that, he spoke with authority. And it is because he was the authority. This morning, if we want to keep Christ central, we need to realize that what God says is what we will follow, what we will obey. We need to focus on the Word of God. God's Word has authority. If the Bible says it, that settles it, and that's what we do. I say that this morning because I think there is a universal struggle across the land, and I think we fight it ourselves when preachers and teachers get up. They tell their stories, they tell their jokes, they try to be relatable to people, and I'm not saying that that's all wrong. But what happens is the Word of God loses authority because there is more and more focus on the performance of the preacher than there is on what does the Bible actually say? What is God's Word telling me? And this morning, if we want to keep a heart that amazed, we need to keep a reverence for the authority of the Word of God. If the Bible says, thou shalt not covet, I won't covet. If the Bible says, forgive, I will forgive. If the Bible says, love your enemy, I will love my enemy. If the Bible, and there's many things we could go on with that. I will leave you this morning with these verses from Ephesians. Ephesians 5 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. And that word circumspectly means to walk carefully, means to walk accurately. You watch where you're going and you pay attention to where you're going. Not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So which heart this morning, amazed or amused, which one do you think will walk circumspectly or carefully? Which one will think about where it's headed? And which one, amazed or amused, do you think will think and ponder about how it's living life? So this morning, how is it with you? Do you feel your heart being snuffed out and suffocated by the amusements of this world? I would say this morning, get our eyes back on Jesus. Again, focus on what Jesus has done. All the amazing things that he is doing for us, he has done for us, and he will do for us. And that will keep our heart for him. May God help each one of us in this.